Welcome to the Greg Allen Podcast. Thanks for joining us, where we talk about life. I truly believe that everyone has a story to tell and a lesson to teach, and that's what this show is all about. So if you're enjoying the show, please head over and leave us a review. It helps us connect, inspire, and help more people like you. And I just want to do a big shout out to you for taking the time to grow and improve. So good on you. Keep doing what you're doing, and good luck in life. Hey everyone, really excited. Today we're here with Jason Reynolds from The Quantum Movement, and today we're going to be talking about personal governance and awakening independence in order to maintain the life that you want to live. So thanks so much for joining us today, Jason.
Thanks very much, Greg. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to dive into this.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd love to just start with that headline that we just gave. So personal governance, tell us a little bit about that and how people can understand what that means to them.
For sure, for sure. I think it's probably a lot of people familiar with the term governance when it comes to business boards and organizations, but it's something that we rarely apply to ourselves. We know so much about what goes on outside of us, supposedly, but we know very little about what goes on internally. We're very good at fixing other people's problems, but not so good at even identifying our own. So personal governance is about the ability to take absolute responsibility for our own self. But the thing is with that, it's a nice word and it's an empowering word, but if we don't understand how to manage the responsibilities that we intend to take on, we tend to avoid that responsibility. So it's not just a matter of saying, I will be responsible for myself. It's a matter of getting to a point where you confidently understand how to actually work with yourself. When you keep doing things and you keep getting outcomes that you don't want, what you're doing is not working. And we've got to have a higher standard of application that if it doesn't work all the time, it doesn't work. And that's a place to start from to find an opportunity to do something better. You know, we find ourselves in a different environment with higher performers. We're going to start to elevate our approach, our outcome, and, our results just by changing that environment. But the thing is, we've got the opportunity to change that environment within ourselves all the time.
Like, I know there's an overwhelming amount of people who are resistant to change. Like, change for them means discomfort and, unfamiliar territory. So what would you say to those sort of people who are, obviously getting forced into it right now and having to face that head on? And what would you say to those sort of people?
No one dislikes change. I can guarantee that's the case. And that's one of the lines of people, so-and-so hates change and people hate being changed. But when they make a choice to change, it's the most exciting thing in their life. When they make a decision to do something, there's no greater force than the decision made. So when we make a decision, it's like the person who's trying to give up smoking. They're not giving up. They're having a conversation with themselves. But when they make the decision, they have to keep making that decision. That's part of the ignorance that we're under, that we think we make that decision and then, I dip back into it because I felt, well, of course you're going to. You have to continually keep making that decision because you have habits within your life that cause you to do certain things. So you make the decision not once, you continue to make that decision, and that's like life. It's what people are not like at the moment, like you said, the word is forced. So no one, doesn't matter whether they're a child or an adult, no one likes to be told what to do. So what we are facing at the moment is people are suddenly complaining about the government, suddenly complaining about the media, suddenly complaining about all of the doom and gloom. And the thing is, it's always been there. It's never not been there. They're complaining about the way that the kids may be acting, and there's a lot of comedy going on at the moment in the way that roles have been reversed in society. And to me, we become most empowered when we can make a choice. Sometimes we become caught up in our own stories to say that we didn't have a choice. I had no choice, this is all I have. You always have a choice. Sometimes that choice is more limited because of the choices you haven't made, but you always have a choice. And if we don't learn from that and make choices earlier, we're going to face more of the pain that continues to stimulate us. And that's sadly what causes people to make change in their life is they wait until they're in pain. And this is probably, to me, a very important point if people can grasp this, is when we're in pain or when we're in crisis or when we're in chaos, we make decisions from that point to escape the chaos, to get away from where we are. And the problem is, yes, we get away from it. It's like we take that big breath and, it's gone. I don't have to deal with that anymore. And we stop the very thing that caused us to get away with it, which was the decision that we made. When we're calm and we're not in crisis, what happens is we make a choice for prosperity to move into a higher state of living. You know, whether that's more money, whether that's more love, whether that's, you know, greater prosperity, we've got to take the time and patience to find a state of calm and a state of ease that we are vigilant and ruthless on before we make decisions. Because if we can't maintain our own calm, we can't maintain our own emotions, and we keep blaming everyone else because of what my wife did, because of what my suppliers did, because of what... No, nothing will ever change. And you'll be sitting there waiting for everyone else around you to change so that you can become successful. And that's never, ever going to happen. So, you know, there's that idea that people dig holes for themselves and then celebrate climbing out of the hole that they dug. You know, look at what we did. Look, yay team, this is what we did. But you dug the hole that you got into only to use all that energy just to get back to where you started from. If we could change one thing, it would be to make a decision to move forward when we are at the peak of our performance, because that is what success is about. Success is the ability to go from a place that you've never been, a place that you've never realized before, and from that particular point, not be fearful of losing it, but be aware of that you just did it previously, so you've got the proof to do that again. And if we could do that consistently, there's no resistance. There's no complication that we find when we get down into the dramas of life because of all the decisions we haven't made is what's complicated. Oh, I can't do that because of this, and if I do that, that person will do that, and we've got to work this out. We've made a mess of something that's so simple in order to stimulate ourselves, because we don't have in our life enough things that engage us and that we love.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so we create all these dramas in order to feel fulfilled and have a good story to tell our mates when we catch up with them.
Yeah. So would a good example of what you've just explained, I'm thinking immediately people who do this exceptionally well, Olympians, like very high-end sports people, where they can't but blame themselves if they don't perform. Do you see this as a good example for people to possibly learn from in terms of taking responsibility for their actions?
For sure, for sure. I mean, look, it's an absolute thing. Like, we're all caught up in this dichotomy of between the who and the what. We're so caught up in, you know, the race that we're in against everyone else and how successful we need to be. Are we more successful than our school friends? Have we actually performed? Have we grown? Have we expanded? You know, what is it that we're moving towards? Rather than trying to, as a who, we have to relate and we have to compare ourselves to others. If we were to stop and take time and consider what we are, you know, at a very basis, and have the audacity to ask those types of questions and to create a foundation and a platform of understanding, we would start to build things from a solid ground. For most of us, we're trying to build a house with other people's bricks rather than our own. We're building on foundations that are based upon other people's ideas because we haven't actually created our own. We have, you know, things that we complain about because we don't have the courage, and not allowing the courage to come through to create our own things. I mean, corporations wouldn't exist if we were innovative and had our own ideas and provided our own service and our own support in a passionate way, but we've got every written excuse to stop doing that. And maybe previous generations, to me, have a lot to answer for, as far as, you know, it's mainly in Western culture that we don't have this generational transfer of information. You have a lot of the Eastern cultures, and especially in a Western world, we complain, and, you know, there's been racism of people moving to new places as refugees come in from in every generation, and they're different and they stick to themselves as far as observed, you know, in different countries. But because they understand their prosperity, they understand their heritage, and they have things to pass on, and they educate and provide examples for their children. We've disconnected from that. You know, and maybe the fact is the embarrassment. I don't have anything to actually share with my child to provide wisdom for them, because I don't understand myself. So if I don't understand what's working for me, how can I pass that on? It's by no mistake, 1% of the population have all the wealth, because 1% of the people are making those decisions based upon the success that they have, rather than waiting for problems to solve.
Yeah, so this, I think this is just in my mind spread out so many different points that I'd like to cover. So with what people are going through now, you know, we've suddenly, people are forced to change, like we were saying before. Do you think that the reason that we've got this disconnection, is that something that's happened in like the last 100 years, or is this something that's been happening over time in the Western culture? Do you think technology has a lot to say to the level of distraction and transference of information?
No. Personally, I don't believe it. And so I suppose one of the things that I really focus on with people I work with is, who cares about history? I mean, it's a distraction. It's not happening right now. Your understanding of you is your understanding of you. History is one of the greatest distractions that's there that we have to overcome, because this has been going for hundreds of years. This is what the ancients used to do. It's a transference in that moment from information that's current and present through parents, through whatever the seeking of information may be for you. I believe this whole idea of technology being, you know, the root of evil at times is its own problem. One thing that we do perfectly is we blame and we demonize our greatest teachers. The things that we hate, the things that we feel most restricted and most inhibited by, like maybe the system, maybe the government, maybe the taxation department, maybe the bureaucracy that exists. Those people that are successful have understood how to navigate that. And they don't buy into the limitations that come with it. They look at it as an opportunity. There's a great interview years ago with Kerry Packer talking about how he paid, I think it was $16 in tax out of over $6 billion of revenue. And he was open in exactly what he had done and said, well, you're the ones that created the system. I just understand it. And that's the very nature. We've all got the opportunity to do that, or otherwise we can remain the victim of other people's choices. And, you know, this is, we go back to personal governance, and probably one of the greatest challenges of our own life is we don't know how to prioritize ourselves. And when we do, we get caught up in this idea of being selfish. We get caught up in this idea of, you know, well, what would we even do if we had our own time? We're so used to giving it to other people and doing the right thing by other people that we don't understand our own selves. And, you know, the concept of meditation, which is not a big thing in my life, but the concept of meditation, you know, are foreign to so many people because of, well, what's the point? What am I doing sitting there doing nothing with myself? It is generally the concept, rather than, you know, if we approached ourselves in the same way that we approached a new partner and with a level of attention that we provide there, we could find some amazing things out about ourselves.
Yeah, I personally have a story to share around that, giving your time to everyone else but yourself. I, you know, with my family upbringing, I felt like I didn't get much time to spend with my dad because he was working away a lot. And so I, from a young age, I wanted to become a business person and become financially free so I could spend time with my kids. So by the time I got to about 27, I was actually financially free. I didn't need to work anymore. With the business that I created, I didn't have to work if I didn't want to. I did love my work, so I was sucked into it because I loved it so much and I was so passionate about what I did. But by the time the kids came along, I gave all of my time to my wife and my kids, and then the work sort of suffered. And then it would go work, family time, family time, family time over the weekend, and no time for myself. And that just ate me up. You know, I was fairly independent. I could make my own decisions before kids. As soon as kids came along, that, you know, those feelings that were built while I was a kid into like when I became a dad had like solidified. And then I said, I have to give all my time to my wife and my work. And I didn't give any time to myself. So that ate me up for a couple of years until I understood myself and how I could control that. But do you see lots of people going through a similar thing when they have kids, like a big shift in their dynamic?
Yeah. I can only speak for myself, but to me, it was just that I still remember that one day of, a less than one-year-old child, as I was fiddling with something, to look across and see, and I just felt this presence, and just to look across and see how intently his hands were the same as mine and trying to copy exactly what I was doing was amazing. And it made me realize the responsibility that I had in to myself, not to him, but to myself in being the best that I could be and being true to myself. Because, look, I grew up, you know, challenging everything. I probably put my parents through a lot of pain by just continually asking questions. I didn't accept what I was told. I wanted to understand it, and I was a, you know, forever skeptic. And I look at that in my son. I truly believe that our kids have a significant teaching for us. I believe that they come into this world with something to share with us, and if we're not open to listening to that, we provide a irreparable damage on our kids that they have to, you know, manage for the rest of their life and learn to come to. But when we can provide attention to our kids, and I mean not just, you know, general attention, I mean actually connecting with that child and listening and understanding them and seeing them not as a shorter version of yourself, not as something that represents you, not as something that needs to make you proud, but just as themselves, geez, you learn so much. And I look at my child and I think, geez, did I know as much as what this kid did at that age? Or am I just giving more attention and he's actually feels more confident to share and I'm seeing him in a different way? And that's, to me, the greatest learning comes from our children, you know. And that's, for many of us, there's a story that goes, you know, if you think you've advanced or you've come to be at ease with yourself, go and spend a weekend with your parents, you know. And that's, you know, because the triggers and everything that could come, yeah. But it's, for me, it's an interesting experience with children to be able to see them as equal, not as something that you're responsible for or that they're responsible for you in any way.
Yeah, totally. So coming back to this presence that you keep referring to, just extending on to what I was just talking about, and as my kids got older, I found that I became my dad, whereas I wasn't there. I was physically there, but I wasn't mentally there. So my mind was in the future and I was always thinking about the things that I had to do. And I think this comes back to what you were talking about. So what are some things to, you know, when I'm thinking about work and I'm thinking about all the things that I want to do and who I want to become and all the challenges that I've got in front of me, I'm not living in the present moment anymore and I'm not giving attention to my kids. And that really woke me up when I realized that was happening. So what's some things that you can suggest around that people can practically do to bring themselves back into the present moment so they can, you know, provide that attention to their kids and the people they love and the people they're spending time with, if that's friends or their pet or anything?
Sure. Time is a big one, and to be under the illusion that we're being managed by time, one of the first things to do is to start to learn how you can manage time. And for me, one of the most important things is to come to a point of completion. So with whatever it is that you're doing through your day, it starts by becoming clear on when it is that you do what you do. Like within business, there's certain aspects that are essential for the success and the longevity of that business. Some of them might be marketing, some of them might be sales, some of them might be systems and organization, others might be cultural. You know, they're all there. Now, for you to actually take the time to see exactly what those are for you and make decisions and empower the way that you want your business or organization to run is one of the most powerful things that you can do in your own business, because you start to become in control of, not become the result of what's going on around you. You start to choose the way that the operation is, and that's where you become more engaged and proud, and where time seems to be valuable and productive, because you're engaged and you're involved and you want to be there. You've got to create a business that you want to be in, not one that you're not wanting to be. And for me, there's a little practice to work with a large, you know, organization in Australia. And the CEO there, he had this amazing practice that, you know, it was developed and enhanced without doing. But what he would do is he found he had many different meetings. You know, like, and his week was just caught up with meetings, and his mind never stopped outside of work. He wasn't there for his kids. He wasn't there for his family. So what developed out of that was he would have six meeting slots per day, but there was half an hour between each one. Now, 15 minutes prior to that meeting was about becoming, was about preparation, about becoming present to it, what was there, what was happening. And 15 minutes at the end of that was there to go through notes, present awareness of where they got up to, what needed to be discussed, what action needed to be taken. And every bit of the note, so that in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, or a month's time, he could pick up that same bit of file and look at it and read it and be prepared for that meeting. What that caused him to do is to be able to shut the door on that, so his attention, every time he went to think about that meeting, it, well, he didn't need to. It was stopped right there because he knew he'd prepared and he had those notes. Now, like anything, there's a whole range of other methods that I could share, and probably better or worse than that. But the thing is, if you don't have discipline, the greatest ideas and the greatest wisdom is going to be useless. So, you know, the first part when it comes to time and presence is choosing to be present to yourself. Now, to me, the greatest practice of that is to prioritize yourself. Now, if we talk about how important we are and how respected we want to be, but we get up in the morning and we start focusing on what everyone else needs, that becomes the trap that we continue to be in. And this is the hardest things for business owners to be in, because the nature of business is to be in service. So we're thinking always of how we can improve and elevate other people's lives in our, through our own service. We can't do that if we're not doing it for ourselves. So for me, you know, the simple practice of each morning, as soon as you awake, that you come to connect and become present to yourself until such time that you feel that you're ready to approach the day. Sometimes that's 2 to 3 minutes. Sometimes that could be up to 45 minutes. Sometimes whatever that may be, for some people it might be exercise, for some people it might be meditation. There's deeper things, you know, and there's more structured and organized things that I'm aware of. But if we're not coming into our own time and our own presence, we are missing the point. And the very nature of this is what people do when they have these practices is they do it for a period of time until they feel good. And then they stop. And it's this nature of feeling good or happy or blissful that people stop doing the very thing that got them there in the first place, which is ironic. Now, when we start, the interesting thing is to be everything that you've been previously giving your attention to will start coming knocking at your door. So if you're used to getting up and dealing with the emergencies of the day, and you then decide, or you, the kids, or anything else, and then you get up and you decide, you know what, from now on I'm going to put time into me for the first 20 minutes of the day, what's going to come, because it's a habit, it's what you've done for so long, is going to be the emergencies are going to pop up. The kids are going to come running in. Your wife's going to want this. Your husband's going to want that. And all of these things that you've previously set up as habits, they are going to keep coming in. And it's to understand, again, you need to keep making that decision if you want the change to occur. And that's where the discipline comes from, because there's a, you know, we all seek our own level of freedom and independence. But freedom, to me, is a simple equation of structure and discipline. And without those two things, we'll never have freedom. We'll be required to do things for others when others need it, when others require it, without ever exercising our own choice. And our choices that we do have will be there to make sure other people are all right. And we're leaving what we have to ourselves to feed off the scraps of what we have left. And look, to create true prosperity in any area of life and to find, you know, the business that you wanted, the experience you wanted, the relationship you wanted, you have to confront the things that you don't want. And I would suggest it's a great thing about what's going on at this time in life is people can be confronted by the priorities of what they don't need. The issue is, can they maintain that beyond this situation?
Yeah.
And that's where our mastery, you know, will come.
So for those listening that haven't been aware of this, maybe they've been running through their whole life, you know, reacting to everything for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And that's just the way they've always lived. They've woken up, they've checked emails, they've woken up, they've served their kids or their wife, and they've never really given themselves time. How do we know that we've given ourselves enough time in the morning? Like you say, wake up and give yourself time. Obviously, it's setting that structure. But what are the things that we're looking for that could be a cue that you're doing on the right track?
Yeah, it's a big question. Look, it's, and it, to me, that's a part of why my organization exists, because it's not just a one-word answer. It's a, you know, it's an ongoing service to get people out of the habits they've created. And the thing is, people don't even know the habits they've got. Mm. You know, the greatest wisdom and the greatest innovation and ideas start from a place called I don't know. They don't start from being an adult and where adults know everything. You know, and it's the notion of an adult is to be adulted. And, you know, the big difference between me with an adult and a child is that a child asks questions and an adult has all the answers. And it's the nature of creation and the nature of innovation, the nature of all wealth in all areas of life, is it determined by the types of questions you ask yourself, but boldly are prepared to listen to and in action. You know, and that's the nature of entrepreneurialism as well. And that's why my focus is kids and entrepreneurs, because they're willing to ask questions where other people have already accepted the answers that they didn't even, you know, they've generally done no research on, they've just accepted or been told in order to not have to go further forward. So our inability, you know, to be able to accept I don't know is a big thing there. But, you know, at its most simple, there's something that can only be determined by yourself. And that is, I would say that you need to find a state of calm and ease. See, some people want to get up and they want to be vibed and it's, they're all, you know, there's high energy. I'd say that's great. But then come to meet that high energy until, so it's, it doesn't seem like it's something different or unordinary. You need to be at ease and at calm. You don't need to be in this heightened state that you're aspiring to, because you'll burn out. You need to come to have that as a norm. It needs to be not, you know, this far off goal of, you know, living at this particular state of life, but it's finding a state of calm and ease, finding a state of acceptance, finding a state of, for some people, it might be silence. But and I have a practice that we share, which is writing and purging. And to me, purging is something that is essential. We, you know, there's this epidemic these days that's compounded on top of all of the, you know, pseudo fear that's been, you know, pushed around at this stage, is mental health. You know, and you know, mental health is nothing more than repressed expression. You know, it's every suicide would be stopped if people actually listened to understand people rather than listen to tell them their own story. And these are the types of things that we need to, you know, be able to purge our thoughts and our beliefs out, the stuff we take on each and every day. And this is what, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, we are taking on energy, we are taking on frequencies, we are taking on thoughts, beliefs, ideas, concepts from other people, whether we like it or not. And this is evidenced when, for you, Greg, or anyone, you get a phone call from someone that you love that makes you laugh. Without even answering the phone, just seeing their name, you feel great. You're like, oh, it's good. And, you know, I wonder what it's going to say. And it's just going to be, yeah, maybe. And you start thinking about what you're going to do before you even answer the phone. And there's automatic energy that comes. When that person in your life that's the obligation to remind you of what you don't want, and it's there, you automatically drop. You feel this density, this weight that comes. Now, that's what you're seeing. That's what you're aware of. But the thing is, people don't understand the residual effect of it. But that's happening all the time, and it's happening when whether you're seeing it or not. And if you're not purging that from yourselves, which is the very nature of what a virus is, to purge and to release toxins at a cellular level. Now, we as individuals have gone away from being able to understand how to communicate energetically, because we've learned a language. We learned to speak words. But we all feel stuff. We all have our own interpretation. We all have our own insight and guidance. And some people put that down to experience. But if we don't develop intuition, which intuition is just the direction of your attention and being able to interpret, rather than, oh, they're a nice person, it's being able to interpret what a nice person actually means in that individual situation, be able to write an essay and become clear on it and become masterful in that area. Because intuition is not some magical, mystical, soft thing on the outside. Everyone of great success talks about it. They don't talk to you how to do it. I mean, Jobs used to talk about it all the time, but there's plenty of people that talk about intuition. They use different words. But intuition is a sense, like imagination. The problem is, for most of us, we need to touch and feel things before we start, before we can believe them, because we don't trust ourselves enough. So we forego the very noble capacities that we have of intuition and imagination. And but we wait until that pain hits us square in the face before we get up and do something about it. We knew about it 5 or 6 months ago, but it seems strange to, well, I'm not really sure if that'll happen. I'll wait and see what happens. And then we wait. So to me, the very nature in the morning is, first thing you can do is develop an understanding within yourself, but it needs to come to a place where you start to confront your own darkness and purge and release all the stuff that you're taking on, because wisdom is about letting go. Confusion is about taking on.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, anything that's there, I mean, there's a whole range of things that, and that's the very nature of what our organization's about, is very much about, there's nothing to heal, there's nothing to fix. It's about seeing what's obviously already there, but just understanding how to do it and with what you've already got.
Yeah, I love that you said writing and purging. So my practice that I do is I would wake up, put on, I personally choose Chill Step. I really enjoy the slow, the synthy sounds and that slow music. And then I'll write, and I write in a third person point of view. But and I'll write objectively about myself and the way that I'm behaving. And I feel my best when I'm doing that on a daily basis. But like you said, I haven't done it for a while. So we'll fall out of the habit. And so being reminded of it right now, I'm going to go back and do it on a daily basis. But, you know, is there any techniques that people can follow in terms of writing to help them purge how they're feeling?
Look, I mean, with all this stuff going on, people's attention is much more heightened. So we're in a space at the moment where we're providing a service into this exact process, and I'll explain it as best as I can in the time I've got. But the very basics of it. The challenge I've got is that when people, it's not a process is a process, and it's not. The way it's done is what's most important, but the way it's understood by an individual is only after they've applied it. So I can direct someone towards it now, but it's the ongoing understanding of it that makes all the difference. But to me, the first thing to do is to sit with yourself and to do, like I was saying before, get up first thing in the morning, have a space that's already set up for it. You need a pen and paper, not a journal, and you need to be able to not meditate, not breathe. There's nothing here we're looking to heighten ourselves. First, what we're looking to do is release. So it's to sit in that particular space, take 2 to 3 seconds just to be present to where you're at. And if you're feeling shit, you're feeling shit, don't try to change that. If you're feeling amazing and that the day just can't go wrong, that's amazing, that's great. No judgment or assessment of it. It's just take a snapshot of what's there. Put a timer on and don't go any less than 5 minutes and just start writing automatically. Now, the whole nature and the intention behind this is to purge and is to release. Now, there's something that's happening that happens very dynamically within us when this occurs, and it's about getting past the mind and not trying to understand. It's about experiencing and the doing of it and then recognizing the difference that it creates. And that's where most people stop. But, well, how does this work and why does it work? And then so they don't experience it because they don't like, you know, uncertain of the change. But what I mean by writing automatically, if you're there and your time has start, and I only put the 5 minute timer on for people that are starting this just to give them a sense of not getting up and avoiding the practice, as I want it, is they write shit that comes out. And it is much like going to the toilet in the morning. But this is the most important purge that you'll do. This is, it might be anything from, I fucking don't know where I'm going, I'm lost, I don't want to be here anymore, I'm unworthy of love, anything. There is nothing that's off the table. See, the biggest problem with a thought like I want to kill myself is the fact that it remains inside you. That's what causes it to be expressed and acted upon. The fact that it's not actually openly said is what creates that toxicity. And that's the same with every other thought that we have. Everything that's not expressed becomes toxic, and it affects us and creates disease at a cellular level. So the problem is with this is it's such a simple practice that people ignore it because of how complicated they've made their lives. Can't work, can't be that easy. If it's that easy, I would have been doing already. And this is the very nature, which you would know from saying about creating systems in business. It's the simple and the obvious that just needs to be done consistently that makes all the difference. It's not the fantastical, it's not the best, it's what it is that works consistently and all the time. So to be able to sit and write, and if you're sitting there and you're getting nothing, well, write nothing. If you're just seeing black dents, write black dents. If you're getting individual words that don't make sense, you're not looking to make sense, you're just letting it out. Some days it's like diarrhea, other times it's perfectly formed, and other days it's not. This is not about, very important, about gaining wisdom. This is not about having a brilliant idea. This is about letting go. And where the truth of this starts to happen, where people get lost in it, is when you start to purge things that you would think are positive. That's when this work really starts to make a difference. It's when you start allowing yourself to be present to letting go of what you think is a good idea. Because ideas are more often than not distractions that stop you from completing things, which is all those people that have so many things in their life that are incomplete, so many things that they've got to do that they start but they never finish. It's a habit. It's not a condition. It's a habit of what you do. So you change these with little actions each day by completing what you do, starting and stopping. It brings presence by habit. You don't have to force it. You don't have to have a practice. You don't have to have a process. You need just to be aware of what you're already. Get that starting point and choose to change that. But, you know, for many of us, what we don't recognize is how powerful we are and how ingrained our habits are and how powerful they are and how much respect we need to pay to those habits in order to change them. We don't just change them by, you know, a weekend course. We don't just, it's a way of life, which is what a habit is. For most of us, those habits are bad, which is not supporting us. But a habit just being an automatic action, you choose the habit. Find the automatic actions that are going to support you and start to integrate them and develop them. But that practice to me of a morning, look, I know there's a question we were talking about it as far as, you know, raising above from the contraction of a virus. I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I'll go a word beneath that, whatever the word is, less than guarantee, because it's up to the individual and I can't be there causing people to take action. But whether a virus is contagious, whether something is debilitating, whether a frequency can supposedly have an impact upon our being, these things occur in our own self to find a better way, a higher level of operation within our own self. So if there was, let's just say from some of the conversations that are happening out there in the confusion, is that there is high intensity frequencies that are being imparted upon us to control or direct or create disease in some form. Whether that's the case and it's even more dark and sinister than that, you have the opportunity to complain about it. You have the opportunity to be in fear of it. You have the opportunity to blame others, or you have the opportunity to understand how to utilize and stimulate something within yourself that operates well above that. And the interesting thing I find is that when you provide that solution to people, they're more scared of that than actually, they prefer to go through the pain of feeling the impacts of not elevating rather than being free, because being free provides us with no excuses, no stories. We have to actually take responsibility for ourselves. So I know what I do is not for everyone, but the nature of it is to find, you know, your own independence, you know, to recognize that every community, that's what I feel, that a lot of problems exist. Now everyone's trying to be the same, which makes every community fall apart. You know, a real community, a real family is about independence, about everyone being completely different and being able to accept the difference in people, which is what we love about them. We don't love the things that are the same. That's what brings us together, but it's the difference in people that we laugh about, that we love, that we endure. And a good lesson is to start to love the things that are different in ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. And the things that are different in other people as well. Like a lot of people fear that someone's different and then they'll put walls up. I definitely experience that a lot with the style of marketing that I do. I do very out there marketing. But like you said, you know, when someone calls you and it makes them laugh, that's sort of what I want to do with my marketing. If they see my marketing, I want them to feel like I'm about to make them laugh. And so that's what I do. Can we talk a little bit more about frequencies? Like, I don't fully understand. I'm sure other people are wondering, what is this frequency? Tell me a bit about frequencies, the way you see it, and how people can have a better understanding of how this plays into their life.
Okay, so, I mean, it goes outside the concept of science, but and well, maybe more into the quantum sciences, but it's important to recognize that for every awareness, before I go into this, that there's experts on either side of the fence that are equally educated, that are equally aware, but have equally opposing decisions. And it's interesting how people from the sidelines get caught up and so absolute in what the truth is, when the supposed experts are still arguing. So the truth in all of that is the only right way is your way. So we've demonstrated over time, you know, a lot of the things and the fears before this type of thing came about, which I've got no fear of as far as contracting or, you know, in any form. But the reason for that is because I didn't want to accept to be subjugated to anyone else. So to me, what I look at with frequencies, and we came across this a little bit by mistake, is it is measurable, and there are certain devices that do it that measure certain conditions, emotions, and even what supposedly diseases that people have. Now, we have the capacity to draw upon any frequency at any particular time. And we're doing it all the time. And I mean in the measurable waveforms of energy that come to us and through us all the time. Our ability to work with them only comes when we start to put attention into doing it. And it's absolutely natural to oppose them, to ridicule, when you don't understand it, because that's the part of learning. That's the I don't know. So a frequency is the basis of everything that exists. So I would say, for example, you have the capacity to bring self-belief to you right now. You have the capacity to bring a frequency of, you don't need to know what it is, what it looks like. You just need to understand how to request that, but you need to be able to provide an environment within yourself that understands that. So we have our own frequency and our own frequency signature. Coming to understand that is extremely important. We worked with a professional sporting team. And this was there's something called gate theory, but we had a frequency of, whatever electrolytes are, sodium chloride, I think might be, it has a frequency. And at a base level, that frequency is in, you know, it was taken in through a liquid or through a pill, whatever it may be, and it's ingested, and it eventually breaks down and has an interaction at a cellular molecular level. Don't quote me on the science. But the very nature of it is the frequency that is creating the change, the electrical exchange. We don't need to go through those ingestibles at a physical level. We can bring those to us at any particular time. So with this particular sporting team, we taught them how to bring sodium, as part of an experiment, bring sodium chloride to them. We went about bringing that to their environment so that they didn't go through needing to drop down to then go off and ingest to then take that on. And the performance and the changes of that was significant. We would say that in life as well, that beliefs that we have about what I can and can't do and what the way that things work and the way that things don't work and the way that, you know, some people drink and have certain effects, some people do certain diets and have certain effects, they have certain beliefs, and those beliefs sets up frequencies that interact with the frequency of what they're ingesting or taking on any particular time. It can sound complex, but it's extremely simple once we understand it, and it makes a significant amount of sense. The beliefs that we have is just our choosing on how we interact with life. So if we sit there and we suggest that chocolate is bad for us and it's going to put on weight, you're going to put on weight. But other people can sit there and eat it and believe that it's an energy source and they love it and they enjoy it and they have no qualms, no concerns with it. What we don't realize is that we're the ones that are imprisoning the very thing that we love rather than not. Now, the issue is with this, where it comes down to, there's a lot of misinformation about it. But that's where it comes down to the individual's discernment to be able to find the right source of information to be able to learn and elevate that and recognize that it's not a part-time thing. But once you choose to be in a particular space, there's no hard work involved because you're in that space. You just, the difficulty is letting go of what you used to know. So frequencies are everywhere and anywhere. We feel them all the time. The thing is that we have lost the ability to be able to interpret them. And look, we do a lot of work where intuition and the ability to be able to communicate with people at a distance is not a foreign thing. I mean, this was something I learned most significantly with my child. And that's, we've all got it. We all do it. We just don't understand in the same way that we do our own profession. If we put half the amount of time into it, the rewards that we would get would be quite significant. We wouldn't be worried about any disease or concern. Now, there is a challenge that exists within this because it goes so far against what we've been taught. And a large part of this is that we've got to want to become our own authority. We've got to learn to be able to be graceful. We've got to learn to be able to be true to our own self. And look, it's not easy. It's all very simple for me to sit here and say all of these things. It's all very simple for me to talk from a place that I do understand it. But I would suggest and make it very clear that these types of practices, they are very simple, but they're not easy. It's because as people, we don't allow ourselves to let go of things. And the only reason we don't let go of things is because we don't see worth and value in our own self. We don't see worth or value in anything that we don't invest time or energy into. And it's a really simple equation. When we start to invest time and energy into ourselves, we start to see the things that we like and we don't like. And when we start to do that more, we go, geez, I'd love to be doing more of that. I'd love to be doing more of this, but I can't because of, you know, the kids and then this and then that. Rather than going, well, yeah, this is what I love. This is what I want to do. But I do have kids. I do have a business. I do have a family. So how can I do both? And that's when it comes down to crunching out the crap, the stuff that we pull along, the stuff we drag along because we think we have to, because we're a certain age, because we're a certain demographic, because we're a certain person, because we're from a certain family. Our ability to let go is the most significant thing that we can learn moving forward, because then we will not be changed by anyone. We choose the change that we want. And that's what the opportunity is at this particular point of all of this situation going on now. It is no different to what was going on 3 or 4 months ago. It is a great, gracious period for people to just stop. And I mean, I go to the beach and there's more people ever on the beach, not huddling, but exercising and walking. It's phenomenal. And, you know, I don't know if it's happening where everyone else is living, but I love nature. And there was butterflies that were like swarming, ridiculous amounts where it was, I just couldn't stop looking at how many butterflies, and they were coming, and there was hundreds of thousands of butterflies. You know, like maybe that was happening all the time. Maybe that happens every single week, but I'm so caught up and others are so caught up. I mean, people are talking about dolphins return. You know what? We live in a pretty phenomenal place. When you take time to actually see it and invest in it, you realize that's happening all the time. There's nothing more special happening now. The same things are happening. We're just taking more notice of them. And how to, you know, like as a single man, you can, or a woman, you go and you exercise and you get fit and everything's great. But then you meet a partner and you're like, oh, geez, the exercise goes out the window. All the things that you're doing that were good for you, you stop because you don't want to lose the value or that you've got in this new person. It's the destruction of every relationship. As soon as we start to try to appease someone else. I mean, the very like nature of business, it's highly affected by the relationships we have at home. And if we're not cultivating our own time and space, if we're not speaking openly, if we're not speaking clearly, like, yeah, a big part of communication is where a lot of this comes from, and our own beliefs and our own frequency is how we express ourselves, the resonance. We hear in people's voice what they mean, not by the words they're saying. You know, we hear the compassion, we feel it. And the thing is, there's your frequencies right there. If you actually stop and listen to people, you know exactly where they're. You don't, they could tell you one story, but you know it to be different. Do we have the courage to confront that? Do we have the courage? You know, is that about being nice to them? Or is that about having the time to let them know that what they're doing doesn't serve them, you, or anyone else? And being obvious, is it the friend that goes and says, you know what, you're an asshole, without fear of losing that relationship? You know, is it the boss that's, you know, not confronted and constricted by what they're allowed to and not allowed to say now, that creates a culture of honesty within an organization that goes beyond? I mean, when we have the government advising us on our culture and directing us by laws, our business is not our business. When we're allowing external rules to determine the way that we, you know, integrate with our people, we've lost the reason why we started in the first place. But that doesn't start by changing your people. That starts with you. And this is, again, about personal governance and responsibility, that shit, when things are good, we just feel good and we start to see good people. When things are not good, there's assholes on the road. There's assholes in life. Everyone's a problem. Everyone's rude. That's got nothing to do with them. That's all to do with you. And until we want to change that, we shouldn't expect any change. We should accept that the reason why I do have this shit in my life is because, fuck, I'm not doing anything about it. So take the pressure off yourself, accept the situation you're in, because you recognize I'm not doing anything to change it. But if you can take that responsibility and accept that to begin with, well, then you've got a starting point. But if you're sitting under some fantasy of going, you want things to be different, but you're not prepared to accept the point at which you're starting, because I always looked at this picture that it doesn't matter how good the map is. It doesn't matter how good the information is and, you know, how many thousands of dollars I can spend on a great course. If I'm not prepared to accept the starting point, no map is going to get me anywhere. If I've got a map from LA to New York and it has every stop and every brilliance and just a phenomenal amount of information on it. If I'm trying to read that from Chicago, that map is useless to me. I need to know where I'm starting from. And this is about humility. This is about our own ability to, you know, apologize if you've done something wrong by someone intentionally. I don't believe you should ever apologize for who you are. But, you know, to become present to what it is that you're creating, not what someone did to you, not what someone did for you, but about you. That's if you want to change things. If you don't, well, you've got the option to stay in a place where no action happens, which is called thinking, which is the absolute excuse that people use to avoid what they already know. We could stop thinking by suggesting I don't know, because if I don't know, then I can start take action towards doing it. And it's to remember, action is relaxing. Action is lying in a hammock. Action is as much as intensively as it is going for a run or creating a new innovation. But it all comes down to your choice. It all comes down to your ability to want to know something different than what you have at the moment that doesn't work. And if you've got aspirations beyond the people around you, well, you know, maybe you have to let some things or someone go in order to find your own truth. And business, to me, is one of the most noble pursuits. And it's in business that we start to learn what people are really all about. I mean, it's interesting in business when people get into it and they realize what happens when they start employing 2, 3, 4, and 5 people, how much people are required in their business. And it's 70-80% of what the business is all about. So if you don't understand yourself, you're going to have all sorts of trouble understanding people. And, you know, we don't find diamonds in the rough with people that come to us. You need to create a situation where you can train and develop and organize people because you understand what you want. Not hoping to win a Tats Lotto each and every time and then complaining when they don't do as you asked or perform as you think they should. So, I mean, I went a bit off the question there, but the very nature of frequency is everything. There isn't anything that escapes it. Most of us just continue to keep trying to deal with the surface of what's going on rather than the core. You can't change the surface. It's like trying to change the results. If you want to change the results, you've got to change the actions, change the habits. If you keep trying to work upon the roof rather than the foundation, if you keep wanting to be seen a particular way, failure will surely be your bedfellow. And it will continue to follow you and haunt you everywhere you go because you're continually just keeping your head above water. But I think this particular time shows that, you know, any forced disaster in your life, it's never that bad. You know, to stop your business when the business is not going right and get everything in order and stop the whole organization for 1 week. the time that you spend over that week will be significant, and you'll make sure that you get all the things done and you prepare yourself in order to do that, to change the direction of your business. If it's not working at the moment and you keep not finding the time, well, you've got to do something different. And that, again, it might start and maybe stimulated through the business, but it starts from within you. And it's the thing that's most misunderstood in all of life is ourselves.
Yep. So many good points there I want to touch on. So frequency, we all feel it when that particular type of person walks in the room and everyone's, you feel the energy, you know, you feel that energy come in, but you also feel if someone comes in a room, has a really like destructive energy as well, you feel that too. Like these are feelings that you get. I talk a lot about, you know, like when you're making sales with, you know, sales and marketing is all about the energy. It's about you being excited or concerned. And if you don't display that through your delivery, it doesn't matter what you say, it's not going to be effective. And I think that's maybe what you're talking about in terms of frequency.
Absolutely. The alignment of that what you say and what you do are consistent.
Yeah.
And that's, absolutely. I mean, it's, absolutely.
Now, with the current situation, the way I'm interpreting this is, you know, the media is pushing out a certain agenda or a point or whatever, and everyone is at home watching it, and then they're feeling a certain way, which affects their frequency, current frequency, and then when they see someone else, they will push that frequency onto them. I've got personal, like I wasn't taking any attention to this coronavirus thing. I was doing business as usual. My wife kept pushing the agenda onto me, and her energy was coming onto me, and I started taking attention to it, and then started to I feel different as well within myself. So, you know, I've had to do more work and stay focused on the businesses and how we're going to get through this and making decisions. I think that's important. But yeah, I definitely felt the energy come across first rather than like, because I haven't watched the news for like 10 years or more. And, you know, for the first time in 10 years, we're watching the news again. And it's just like, why are we watching the news? You know, but there's this energy everywhere at the moment. You walk out into the street, you feel it, you know. So is this sort of what you're talking about in terms of there's, you know, this fear energy at the moment or frequency?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, fear is a big one. But it's to understand we don't accept our own ability to create, and we collectively create the media. Like, it's only there because people are watching it. It's specifically and precisely targeted towards what people want. And just consider, when people keep perpetuating stories that are fearful, when people keep perpetuating mistruths, half stories, I mean, there's sound bites that are taken from Parliament about what a politician said, not the whole story in context. And people run with that. And then, you know, no wonder people hate politicians. I mean, who would want to be one in the first place? But, you know, it's probably a very noble cause, but we're so used to, you know, that they're at the end of the hammer the whole time. And, you know, I would say the same. I don't watch the news for at least 10 to 12 years. And even when my parents would come and they'd want to put it on it's just not a place where it's not in our house. I don't read. I come across things as I need them, as I require them, and that's the way I look at it. And I, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, this whole thing, I thought I had a look for 2 days and I haven't looked again. It's of no concern. And, but fear is just one thing. It's not knowing how to do what you want successfully. So we all have it. The problem is it's been demonized and accepted as an excuse to not live. And fear is the very liberation of our own life. It's also called the unknown. We can't learn anything by going into the known. We don't learn anything by doing the same things. That's called boredom. We don't recognize these things. We've just got to keep the same. We've got to, you know, get back to normal. What a disgusting idea to get back to normal. I mean, why not just give up now? The whole nature of life is to do things different. We're not inspired by people who keep doing the same things. We're inspired by people who are doing things that provide an example that we haven't done. I mean, I'm excited by creativity, design, and innovation. And I look and go, wow, who's a smart fucker who thought of that? Like, great idea.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's like, geez, what can, and you think, you could also do this, you could also do that. And you have your own little conversation of how you could further evolve. You know, this, I mean, we can't even get plugs right. I mean, I was trying to get a plug the other day, and there's, you know, for USBs to USCs to HDMI to digital ports and all of this crap. And it's, why don't you just use one? You know, it's a question that's continually asked, and fear exists. It's what we think might happen. And it's interesting how certain we are about what we think might happen and how easily that stops us. It hasn't happened. It may never ever happen. But it's what we think might happen that stops us creating the very thing. But what's perfect about fear is it brings enough attention to a situation to cause us to forget everything else and to focus upon something enough to the precise level in order to overcome it. Because if we don't put any attention on that fear, nothing will change. If we're not in the habit of it, and I would suggest to everyone, everything that you have done that has been the most challenging thing in your life are the things you're most proud of, are the things that have created the most difference in your life. But we forget that the next time it comes along. We go, I just don't want all this pressure. I don't want all this stress. Well, it's only pressure and stress if you avoid the thing that's in front of you. If you embrace it, there's no resistance. It actually becomes an exciting thing. It's not fear. There's no pain. It's just your reaction to a situation. And that reaction is generally related to the fact that I don't see myself as bigger than this situation. I see myself as less than, and I shouldn't probably push things. And we acquire all these things of value that limit us, that weigh us down. Like, I mean, there's probably fears a lot of people got at the moment, losing houses, losing businesses. And it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. This is about the priority of recognizing where those things really sit. You know, have I been smart with my money or not? Because if I have, I'd be sitting here right now and I'd have a number of gold bars. I'd have things that I'd say would sustain a period like this beyond cash, beyond whatever it may be that is triggering you. But these are just opportunities. Fear is just the choice to not take action, you know, and that's what we've, you know, for some of us, that's a habit. It's nothing that's nothing that's bad. It's brilliant, if anything.
Yeah, in this current situation, this is, you know, I embraced what was coming in terms of a business point of view. I was watching the news going, wow, I've never experienced anything like this before. And I'm excited about and grateful that I'm going to learn something here. Like, I'm going to have to navigate this hard water. It's almost like a kayaker in a river, and it's like this waterfall that bigger than they've ever faced before, but they're going to take it on. They're going to do the waterfall, you know, like, so, and the bigger rapids, and, you know, when coming into this situation, yes, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be a lot of businesses suffering, but yeah, you can sit back and go, shit, I'm going to lose everything. Or you can start taking action now and navigate through it and get through the end and feel super proud for what you've done.
You know what I think one of the biggest challenges here, and I think we've all experienced it, is, and it sort of relates to the news argument and the perpetuation of people talking about fear. And, you know, it's very easy for if we just met to talk about how bad things are going. You know, what about happening over there? And those people, do you hear about that disaster here? But we don't often speak about how brilliant we are. We don't walk up to people and go, you know what, I'm brilliant. I've got this amazing business that I teach electricians to, and that they're, you know, I think I'm better than anyone else in the world. I think I'm brilliant for these particular reasons. And fuck, I'm really proud of how I've done this and how I've done that. Most people looking go, who's this guy? Like, so the very nature of what happens in especially times like this, when people are suffering and when they're going down, is it perpetuates more complaining and fear. And sometimes people complain and whinge about things that are not even going on in their life to relate and to be accepted. You know, it's the same as you just meeting the love of your life and coming and meeting a friend who's just broken up or found that their partner's cheating on them. You've got this exciting thing you want to share, this business, this relationship, but you don't because you think it wouldn't be nice to do in front of that person. The challenge that people have got at the moment through their own grinding, their own prosperity, their own investment in self, and the turmoil that they've moved through in their life to find success, because it won't be without it, is to express that, to not be responsible for other people and their decisions and choices to find the lack of prosperity. You know, this is something that's been hidden way too much and not talked of. We need to be in a place where you can inspire. And yes, you're going to be judged for it. Yes, you're going to have people thinking, who the hell are you for talking to me in that particular way? How dare you talk about your own success? I mean, this is something that we've got to shift and change, because this is what people are looking for. Those people that have hit the skids are looking for reasons to keep moving, looking for examples, not for people to go and hide in their shell and be humble. There is humility and there is grace, but it's the way we speak about it. And it should definitely not be hidden. And to me, you know, that's a big thing that I focus on, is getting people to speak about their brilliance. Yeah, you've got to be vulnerable and let go of the shit. But that comes to a place where you become at ease and graceful about your own brilliance. That's what people want to know. That's what they want to understand. I mean, that's what I did when I was a kid. I went and found the most successful people I could and asked them as many questions as I could about how they got there. They weren't shy to share it either. And it's free information that's available to us all the time. And it's, you know, we need to get away from perpetuating the fear and complaining about the fear if we're the ones that are doing it. You know, how accountable do we allow ourselves to be?
Yes, I 100% agree with, you know, people holding back, talking about their success. I know times when I've been in conversations with people, I might be talking about some things that I'm doing. They're like, whoa, making me feel bad. You know, that's the language they use back at me. I was like, but that's just what I'm doing and that's what I'm passionate about and this is how I live my life. So, you know, it's easy for some people to go, oh, all right, I won't talk about it anymore to anyone else. Like, it's almost like getting that bad comment on Facebook when you put something you believe up on Facebook or social media and someone, one person says something that's not in alignment with what you believe and then they pull it down. And like we have to own that. We have to own that's what we believe, and we have to push our beliefs. And I fully believe that. So
And just that's such a big thing. It's you know, to be able to speak, you know, into that particular space is I think it's critical.
Yep. And you know, if more people were more in tune with their own self and their self-governance and like we're talking about today, they wouldn't need to try and fight their point back at those people that do have a different point of view on something. So
for sure, I mean, that's one of the things I noticed when I have clients of, you know, from all around the place, and they would come up and they'd be, and they might have a call with some disaster. My first response is great. And the thing is, it changes the nature of, I don't buy into sympathy. I don't buy into compassion for others. I buy into compassion for myself, because I have compassion for myself. I can then start to understand others more and recognize what they require and need, rather than seeing them as less than. If I think that they can't get through this problem they've got, well, I'm going to sympathize with them and bring them down to, let's get back to reality. And I think you may be trying a little bit too hard. You're aspiring too much. Whereas to actually be able to believe in someone more than they believe in themselves, at times, some people experience pressure. But I make no excuses for that, but people pretend to be much less capable than what they really are. And a lot of times I feel like when they say, like you're saying, you're making me feel bad, they're looking for confirmation. And a lot of people do this unconsciously through their own insecurities, if they talk themselves down in order for other people, by balance, to bring them up. No, you're brilliant at it. You're great at it. And it takes them a little while to accept it. But you know, that's everything's great. If I can start to express the things that I'm terrible at, you know, and I can be looking for a solution or a greater understanding or seeking, you know, a greater awareness, you know, all power to anyone who's doing that. But if our choice is to find less, it's sort of, to me, it's not something that sort of I really entertain. And I am, and not for any other reason, that it just, I know that it doesn't serve me. Not for everyone.
Yeah. I think what would be really empowering for people in that conflicting conversation or that experience, if we were in tune with exactly who we are and we did spend that time that morning to know, this is where I'm at right now, you know, because I know from personal experience and other people that I work with at a very high level, you know, yes, they're successful and there's all these good things going on, but there's a fuckload of shit going on as well at the same time. There's so much other stuff that's happening at the same time. So to be able to flip that conversation, we go, oh, I'm doing this, doing that, because you choose to be on a positive side of life. Someone feels bad. I was like, tell you what, this is what's not going right in my life at the moment. This. You know, that would be.
But it's not a focus. No, it's not the. It's not robbing their attention of what's at hand.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, that's to me. I sort of learned at a young age that, or not learned, but got exposed to that. Success is directly related to the amount of responsibility someone can take whilst maintaining income. You know, like the person that's in charge and that's leading the ship is generally the, you know, you might look at the president of the United States, you know, it's the, or whoever, it's not, to judge people that are in positions of power, it, to me, is a great level of ignorance, because whether you agree with them or not is not the point. It's the example they provide. You know, it's, energy will go to where it's most organized. And if you look at organizations around the world, businesses around the world, the ones that are most successful and the ones that are sustained and long-term are the ones that are most organized. So if we can allow ourselves to organize ourselves, because we are chaotic, we're a crisis, we're a mess at any particular time, but it's our ability to get to a state of ease, and the speed at which we can get to a state of ease determines our success. Because it's at that particular point you can make the decision to move forward. And that very thing there is the very practice of everyone, you know, finding their own success. They'll do it differently. You know, like it's, and that's where it's most important that I'd say of any leader, how can you look at them, let go of their agenda and how different it is to yours. But what is the example that's been provided here? It's the ability, look, they're under a huge amount of pressure and scrutiny, but they just keep turning up. They just keep coming. I don't like them personally. They don't resonate with me. You don't have to, because there's a lot of people that don't like you, and you got to be learned to be at ease with that as well. You know, like that's the whole point in how many areas of my life am I at ease and how many areas am I triggered will definitely determine the term person's ability to master themselves.
Yeah. So in terms of organizational structure, so if we can come to terms with our own self and our own governance, how can we structure our businesses to be able to empower and, you know, elevate our team culture?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the most simple approach is always start with yourself. So it's always to do with you. That's to me where I find that to simplify any particular situation or start with yourself. So to the degree I understand myself, to the degree I understand others. So as far as culture is concerned, that's just cohesive movement. It's group habit. You know, like a culture is based upon habits, which is based upon beliefs. And we can change that internally at any particular stage, but it's the degree at which the people within the organization understand what the organization stands for and how it does what it does that determines its success. That, you know, the lack of success and the greater amount of frustration that the owner of the business will have is the distance between what other people understand and how similar it is to them. Now, if other people understand to the same degree that they do, that business owner has freedom. They don't, and that's the whole nature of what I'd say of any level of any of our pursuits should be to create independence in a business, should be able to create independence of your people. So how do you create independence of the people? Is you've got to provide them with the information they need to be able to act and make decisions without you there. And if certain things would occur, what would they do? Well, you need to educate them on that. So you need to be able to release all of these responsibilities you have. And if you don't, and you're not doing that daily, and you don't have at least a couple of hours a week where you are refining that, where you are improving that, well, nothing's going to change. And it doesn't matter whether you go to, you know, get some new software or you get a, you know, a new consultant or whatever it may be, unless they understand that to a greater degree that you do, nothing's going to change. But first of all, you have to want to change yourself. And, you know, it doesn't matter whatever we do, nothing's going to ever escape our influence on our own life. And look, we've got to get better just because we want to get better, not because we need to because of some crisis. You know, this is, you know, like we had bushfires here in Australia recently and people were the government this and that fire department that. And Where were you 6 months beforehand, before the fire started, if you knew all this stuff and you're so wise and clever? Why weren't you providing a support then before these types of crises happen? You know, this is what we need to realize is that we blame things. Naturally, we don't want to take responsibility. It's not native to us, but it's become natural because that's what is existing around us. You listen to the news, you're going to be influenced by it. But you listen to yourself, you'll be influenced by yourself. You know, coming to love ourselves is not some ethereal experience. It's simply about putting attention upon yourself for no reason at all. And just try to do that. I mean, you'll put attention on yourself. You've got to get fit. You've got an event coming up, or you've got to study. Yeah, you put all this attention because you've got to provide something for someone else. Just try the habit of putting attention on yourself for no reason. See how far you get. And that's going to be the true indication of someone's appreciation of themselves, which will then relate to how they appreciate and deal with. We start to recognize our own power and our ability of how we use our time and energy and attention. And it's, I suppose one last thing on that attention thing is that there was a study that was done, which has become popularized in the last, 10 years, but it was done, 70 years ago. And it was about, in the times when these types of studies were done, which they wouldn't get away with now, where they had orphan children, there's about 100 of them, I believe, and those children were separated, and one were given the greatest amount of nutrition they possibly could, but they were given, used wet nurses, but those nurses, when they fed them, they gave them no attention whatsoever, didn't look at them, didn't approach them, they were just there to provide the best nutrients possible. In another room, kids were not fed, provided water alone, but were given all the attention, play and enjoyment. Now, they took this particular study to the extent until they died. Now, the children that were given the nutrients died sooner, earlier, and more effectively than the ones that didn't. Now, there's a simple truth that exists in this. Attention is the most important commodity and currency that we have. Where you place it, how you receive it, and what you do with it. Now, if you walk into a room and people welcome you, there's an enlivenment that happens from you. There's an uplifting. And if you can maintain it, you then have presence, especially if you agree with what you're receiving. When you receive attention that you believe is above your own self, you'll deny it and you won't have presence. You walk into a room where you're not accepted and people are looking and pointing and you hear the whispers in the background. You might not feel good, but you're alive. There's no doubt of you being alive, and you'll take that on and you'll use that to change, to evolve and do whatever you may do if you feel the need to. For some people, they thrive on it. But if you walk into a room and no one notices you, and I mean that you walk up to people and they don't even bat an eyelid, they don't even make eye contact, that you're an absolute ghost. You'll either die from the lack of attention that you receive, and which is that transference of energy that happens to and through us, or you'll end up killing yourself through the insanity that prevails. The thing is, we receive attention by going into the most lowest common denominators, like the news, like other people's opinions, like knowledge from the past, because we don't have the capacity to give ourselves enough attention to learn about ourselves enough to be able to share something that's intriguing, interesting, and innovative. And when we start to do that and we become self-sustained is when we're able to provide ourselves with our own attention, and that's where life begins. Not existence, but life. And it's through the very nature and the perpetuation of attention. Meditation has just become a name that's become popularized, like yoga and like other practices that don't really do much if we don't actually understand ourselves. And a great point of understanding ourselves is getting to a state where we start to realize the toxicity that we carry around in our life and the amount of things that we have in ourselves that we don't agree with, we don't want, and we never gave permission to. And that's why purging becomes so significantly important, not just a good idea, it's essential. That and attention are the two most significant things that allow us the freedom to start to find what it is that we really want to have in our own lives, and we start to discern what serves and what does not.
So with what's happening right now, so a lot of people are being locked away, some countries worse than others, are we still able to get that attention from others, that energy transference? Are we still able to get that?
Yeah, well, differently. But I would say that in months to come, this is going to be where the tragedy starts to occur, and where, you know, things that people maybe haven't considered, maybe they have considered. But that particular transference that's not occurring is what's going to create the frustration, the reactions in people. I mean, people have become so conditioned now. And I kind of enjoy going to, it wasn't a favorite before, but the supermarket. And I kind of enjoy the social experiment that's happening. And, you know, I'd find myself in the first couple of weeks judging someone with a face mask on and people looking and moving and dodging and avoiding me. You know, I might have felt it as a bit of rejection. I felt myself judging someone and going, oh, come on, give it a break. But I started to realize how much I was separating myself from these people as well. Whereas now, what I've learned a big lesson. You know, I'm enjoying the flavor and the restrictions that are coming on, because I feel free in myself. You know, like there's now at our supermarket, there's a lineup. You know, it's kind of funny the way it's done, and lines on the floor, and we step through like cattle as we go in, and then a bell goes, and then you go in next, and whilst you're in there, people are nearly, you know, leaning up against the aisle or the shelf to get past you. And some people won't walk past you because of that. But, you know, as if that extra 30 centimetres is going to make a difference. You know, the fact that if you're really that concerned about it, put a hazmat suit on and walk around. Otherwise, you know, stop buying into this social distancing, which I saw more effectively called physical distancing. But to me, look, I don't buy into or believe that this is even contagious in any form. I believe that there's other things that might be played, but you know what? It's irrelevant. If I can raise myself above it, that's my responsibility and focus upon myself. But one thing I am aware of is that I need to, if other people have beliefs that this is contagious, if they have beliefs that this is going to kill them, if they have beliefs that this is going to impact them, I respect that. So I do the best that I can to not fall into, you know, imparting their space that they believe that they need, because I might be perpetuating their very own death that they believe is coming upon them. There's a great quote I saw, I wonder how many people are going to harm themselves due to the beliefs that they have about 5G. And that's the truth of it. The beliefs that they have about that occurring is going to be the impacts that they'll have upon themselves. And if that's the case, well, that's the case. If it's not, it's not. But if it is, there's a great opportunity to find the truth in how to overcome that. You know, and that's the chaos that we can all rise above. So this is the most perfect time to start to find whatever it is, attention that you can bring to yourself. But to me, focus on things that are going to bring you solitude and peace beyond this, not just for these moments. Stop thinking of how you can get back to the way it was. This is the greatest time for innovation that there's ever been. You know, get to a point in your life that if you were to die tomorrow, you'd be happy. You know, it's kind of like I always say, is have the house always ready for sale. Don't clean it when other people come. Enjoy the benefits of it when no one's there, when no one's coming. You know, like this is the problem that, you know, shit, I've got to clean up because people are coming over, or people say, excuse the mess. Don't fucking excuse it. It's always like that. This is just your house. Accept it. If you don't like it, stop telling me stories when I walk through the door. Clean it. And enjoy it for yourself, not for me coming over. I'm not your boss. I'm not your authority. That's a little, obviously, a little trigger of mine. It's, you know, the house, the business, the same thing. Always have it ready for sale. You know, so you're welcome to show everyone the insides of what you have. There's nothing to hide.
It's like spending $100,000 or $150,000 on a renovation just before they sell it. That happens all the time. It's like, why didn't you do that right at the start? And you could have lived in it and enjoyed that renovation. It looks great. Totally.
Yeah, it's the same as like leaving the house and then suddenly realizing how much they enjoyed it, because they were, you know, I think people get caught up in the things being the same the whole time and trying to make them the same, rather than trying to do things different every day. I mean, look at a child, there's so many examples of the things that excite us the most are the things when we do it differently. You know, like, but we continue to keep trying to do the same thing every day. It's getting back to normal.
Yep. No, for sure. I think I personally know that when I pull myself back into happy with now, and if I died tomorrow, I'd be happy and I feel like I've treated everyone the right way today. And, you know, that space is absolute happiness for me. Like, that is when I don't have a care. Like, I don't fear anything. I don't worry. You know, I've done some negative visualizations around even partner, family, friends, children passing away and feeling okay with that. Like, I've been the best dad, best husband I can. So if that does happen, I'm not suddenly faced with, you know, you should have done better. You should have tried harder. You should have been more attentive. You should have been there more, whatever it is for them. So, yeah, I totally resonate with what you said there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, it's just giving ourselves the attention to actually nearly have a conversation to find out our own inner view of what we want. You know, like so I think a lot of the time we're so focused on making sure everyone else is happy with us rather than us being happy with ourselves.
So is there anything else that you see happening now or any messages you want to share with people that you feel like could help them through the next 6 months to a year? Other than what the awesome advice you've already given, like there's been so much good stuff in here already.
Yeah, I think being bold and courageous is being prepared to stick your neck out and be different, you know, embracing that, awakening your own independence, I think's significant. Investment that you make upon yourself and look, take absolute responsibility. Just take a bit of an audit in your own life where you're living a life where you're expecting other people to provide for you through the blame that you provide, whether it's on the government. You know, be thankful that the government's created such a mess of a taxation system. They've overtaxed you so much that you have to become so much more efficient and successful in what you're doing. You know, get rid of the blame that you continue to maintain. But to me, one of the most important things is at home. Is one of the practices that I find most important, and again, this is something that is at the core of what we teach, is have real conversations with your family, because that nucleus to begin with, that if you can't live in a happy space and a happy family, don't expect to have an impact on your community, don't expect to have an impact upon your state, your country, and beyond that. But to be able to actually sit in a place, and it's something I do with my son as much as I can on the way to school, is to speak without feedback, you know, and to share deeply about why I love him and why he loves me, and you know what I don't understand about him, you know what, and to be able to do that openly with a partner, with your kids, and to not, you know, have anything hidden, to actually find that truth. That's what resonance, and that's the attention that you'll start to cultivate by default from the people around you each and every day. And you come to notice the difference of people in, wow, geez, I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to be around them because of what I'm learning, what I'm growing, what I'm gaining from the brilliance of these people that I have in my life. That's what's important. And it's not by mistake you're around the people that you are. They've got something there for you to understand about yourself. And if you can find the time, that's where the real richness exists. Not a quantity of time, but the quality of time, and business will come into the place where it is. I mean, look, I said in the past that business to me was more important than anything else in my life. And the reason that I say that is because it is about me fulfilling my own self and following my own pursuits. And if I'm true to that and I understand it, it means if I recognize that it's more important than the other things that are in my life, it's because those other things are so much more important. And I know that's sort of contradictory of its own self, but because of the time I spend away from what I value most, I want to make sure that it works. I want to make sure that I'm heavily invested in. I don't want to fool myself to be in business to get away from the family. I mean, it's a common thing, you know, like to have a partner that knows less about you than your best mate. That's not a relationship. Mm. And, you know, we've got to take accountability for that. You know, to what degree and what level of honesty and how much of ourselves do we hold back from the person that we're choosing to spend our life with? You know, be courageous. You know, be prepared to lose what you've got in order to gain something far beyond it. So For me, it's create a difference, awaken your own independence, and prepare. Be prepared to learn to love yourself for the things that you don't know about yourself, the things that you've avoided, the things that you've judged. Stop focusing on everyone else and start becoming the main focus of your own attention, which will cause you to love and appreciate other people so much more.
Yeah, you'll be in a fulfillment, you know, within yourself. So then you can love, you can give, and you can share.
And it's effortless. It's effortless because when it's like when you're thinking that there's only a certain amount of time, certain amount of energy you've got, and you don't have time for yourself and you don't have time for them, nothing's ever complete. But if you can fulfill yourself, you know what you do? You get better at it. And you get better at it, and it takes less time because you're better at it. And because you're getting better at it and it's taking less time, you're more effective at it, so you're elevating it more. And then automatically what's overflowing from you is you. You're not putting on a show. You're not playing a role. And what people are experiencing is you, so they can love you for who you are. And that's the very nature of, you know, true love is being appreciated and loved for who you are. But if you don't show who you are, you keep complaining about other people not understanding you because you haven't given them an opportunity to actually see you. You know, that's, to me, be courageous, be bold, start it with your family and start to challenge your kids to be independent. Stop doing things. Stop fighting the fights for them. You know, allow them to grow and allow them to fall over.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen the book, but we've got this book that we read to our kids, especially when they were younger, about buckets and filling the buckets. And and if we fill our own bucket by being nice to others and all that stuff, so it fills our own bucket. And when it overflows, like full, you fill your own bucket, then it can overflow and fill other people's buckets. But the people who have empty buckets try and take from other people's buckets by feeding negatively towards them to try and take the bucket. Yeah. And it takes from both buckets. So such a good lesson for the kids. I'm going to have to get the book and put it, send it over to you. I wouldn't know the name off the top of my head, but yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks.
Awesome. Oh, let's wrap it up. Thanks. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate everything you've shared today. There's so many good things in here to prepare, like get everyone understanding the environment that they live in and how to really empower themselves and to take charge of their, you know, the personal governance. So I really appreciate you sharing your work and your wisdom and your time and your experience. And I think it's going to help a lot of people out there. So thanks so much.
Thanks heaps, Greg. And look, all power to you for creating this. And I know it's, you know, everyone in here listening, these things don't happen by mistake. And to actually have the courage to step up and do this with so many other opportunities and where you could put your attention now, I really appreciate it and taking the time to have me on.
Cool. No worries. Have a good day. We'll see you later.
Thanks very much.